Welcome to the podcast that can categorically deny that David Clark has any intentions of reforming Babylon Zoo. Isn't that right, David? Are you sure? Okay. Make up your own mind. This is A View from the Bridge. Today is Thursday, 13th of December 2012, and my name is Patrick Smith. How's it going, guys? Welcome back to another View from the Bridge. I'm on my own again. Don't despair. We've got Doug Christensen coming in to chat to us. Spoke to Doug earlier on about how the season has gone so far, and he gives some really forthright reviews on what he expects from the next few weeks and his time at GB. This week we're going to chat to you about the two games that happened in Scotland. I'll chat about the league table, a bit of news that was going around, and looking ahead to the games against Cardiff, Nottingham and Hull this weekend. If you want to get in touch with us here in A View from the Bridge, you can send us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. We're on Twitter at AVFTB, that's at A View from the Bridge initialized, at AVFTB. And of course, to the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. So, wait a minute. Well, before we even start, I want another woe from David Clark. Thank you, David. Trip to Scotland at the weekend there, and maybe not, didn't go as wholly expected. I think a lot of people thought we'd go to Fife, which is a great arena to go and visit, and come away with an easy win. Well, not quite. We did go up with David Peacock. David Peacock? Who the hell is David Peacock? Craig Peacock, that's the guy. Craig Peacock scoring the first goal with after under 15 minutes on the clock. But Craig Peacock was actually to go out of the game with a horrendous slash with a skate to the face as he put Bobby Chaumont over the boards. I think if you've ever been to Fife, Fife is an incredible place to visit, because I think now they've only got plexi around the two ends. The boards up the middle are just the boards. There's no plexi. So I guess the hit came, I haven't got to see it yet, but I believe that the hit came in from Craig Peacock to Chaumont, who went over the boards and his skate came up and sliced right under Peacock's nose. It's the picture was in the Daily Mail this week, just to show the extent of the injury. It was quite horrendous. He had quite a few stitches in there and had to miss the game in Edinburgh. Unfortunately, when he was out of the game, the Fife went on to win. Jason Pitten, man of the match for Fife with a hat-trick, and Casey Haynes with a power play goal that opened up their scoring. Not a great night at the office for the Giants. They made up for it, of course, the next night in Murrayfield Rink, a game I got to go to myself, against the Edinburgh Capitals, and quite a good game. Giants did go up after about 10 minutes, Will Colbert scoring from a pass from Noah Clark. But it wasn't that long before Curtis Lienweber came back into the game with a bit of a break. Edinburgh's game was excellent. I thought that I was really impressed with how they played. We'll talk about in a few minutes about how they've beaten both Sheffield and Nottingham in their own arenas. But the Edinburgh game seemed to be catching us on the break. They put a lot of pucks on Stephen Murphy and seemed to come work a lot at the wings. The Giants did look in control, but seemed to want to pass it around a lot. There seemed to be a lot of possession hockey being played, looking for that right scoring avenue, right scoring lane, which they got. Goals from Colbert, Champagne's backhand for the second goal. I don't know exactly what the Hadowski in the net for Edinburgh thought was going on there, but it seemed a bit soft. The backhand from Scott Champagne as he crossed the crease was lovely, but it seemed to float through the air and into the back of the net quite slowly. But that put Giants 2-1 up. Daryl Lloyd, who only minutes earlier had missed an absolute sitter by not even putting the puck on target, and I give a bit of a moan about it on the Twitter feed, came back with a fantastic breakaway goal to make it 3-1, and then Noah Clark finished the scoring with less than 10 minutes to go to make it 4-1, and the Giants taking 2 points away when maybe they had hoped for 4, but hey, a great result for Fife. That put the Giants, unfortunately, at that point second in the league where they stand now. The league table as it stands is Nottingham are top of the league with 35 points. Belfast played one less game now. We'll speak about that in a minute. With 33 points. Sheffield on 22 games and 29 points. Cardiff, 21 games and 28 points. Coventry are 5th, 22 games and 27 points. Brayhead are 6th, 22 games, 23 points. Dundee, 21 games and 20 points. 8th are Fife, 20 games and 16 points. 9th are Hull, 21 games and 16 points. And bottom of the pile, unfortunately for them, are the Edinburgh Capitals with 24 games, more than anybody else in the league, but only 15 points. In the Earhart Conference, just for the Giants, they sit second in that, but we have 4 teams on 17 points. Nottingham, Sheffield, Belfast and Cardiff all sit on 17 points, but Nottingham and Belfast still have a game to play on Sheffield and Cardiff. Coventry are 7 points behind, having played 12 games in the conference and are on 10 points. In the Gardiner, Brayhead lead up there with 18 points of 14 games. Dundee, Hull, Fife, then Edinburgh. Bit of news from around the league. Devon Didymiddie's gone. There was an announcement the other morning at 6 a.m. by the Cardiff Devils to announce that Didymiddie had requested to leave. Make your own judgment there. But it seems to be that he felt that he wasn't getting enough ice time. He was playing third line and maybe not getting the ice time that he had hoped. There's also chat that maybe he had left before he was pushed. You make your own judgment. But I think that news was trumped by the shocking news that Colin Shields had quit Sheffield Steelers. Shields now without a club. Feel a bit of a personality clash with Ryan Finnerty. Maybe not the first person. Certainly won't be the last. Finnerty, of course, having clashes with Colt King at the end of last season. Ramsey, after the season had ended, said he wasn't that. But, of course, it was his mate who left. There's been a few players over. But now it's Colin Shields. Finds himself available. However, the registration is still owned, I believe, by the Sheffield Steelers. So if Colin Shields wants to play anywhere else, the Sheffield Steelers have to agree to it. Interesting. Which means that more than likely Colin Shields won't be playing for Nottingham, won't be playing for Belfast, maybe not Cardiff, maybe not even anywhere in the Earhart Conference. If he wants to go anywhere, maybe Brayhead is the best bet for him, or certainly somewhere in the Gardiner. But how this pans out will be very, very interesting. Speaking of Gardiner Cup teams, like I said earlier, what a shocker. Edinburgh, 3 games in a row they had, one against Nottingham, which was the other night, one against us at the weekend, and one against Sheffield. The Nottingham game was at the NIC, the Sheffield game was at Ice Sheffield. Both games ended 2-1 to Edinburgh. Fantastic result for them. I thought that for Edinburgh to go into these rinks and to come away with a result like that, considering that they're bottom of the league and bottom of the conference by a little bit of a distance, is fantastic both for the league and for Edinburgh. It shows how competitive the Gardiner Conference teams can be, especially with Fife winning, of course. I think the most notable thing was, however, if you get to catch the Cats Whiskers TV from Monday before the game that the Panthers took on Edinburgh, both Jono and Paul took great delight in Edinburgh and Fife taking points off Belfast and Sheffield. Only for the Cats Whiskers overtime to take place straight after the Edinburgh Capitals took points off them at the NIC. I did take a bit of delight in that, I fully admit it. And I'm looking forward to seeing Jono this weekend and being on the Cats Whiskers overtime, I believe, this Sunday night. But we'll get to those games in a short while. What we'll do now is I'll bring in Belfast Giants head coach Doug Christensen. Doug, no stranger to the podcast, has been kind enough to give us interviews off-season, after games, and we're really appreciative of that. And I began by asking Doug, that as we're approaching the midpoint of the season, sitting top of the league and a cup quarter final against Hull beckoning, how would he grade the season so far?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it's obviously a very incomplete look at where we are. There's some things I'm very happy with. I think the fact that of our 22 league games, only 8 have been at home, and we sit 2 points out of first place with a game in hand. I'm very pleased with. I think if you had asked me last week, I would have been much happier without the Fife game. But I think that as a body of work, our team is still improving. We're getting better with the number of new imports that we've had to date, getting out of the blocks the way that we did, and to be able to only have 3 regulation losses now just 2 weeks before Christmas is something I'm very happy with.
Like you say, we've only had 8 games of home, with most of our games being on the road. And as we turn into 2013, we're going to have a lot of home games. We're going to need to develop, I suppose, a fortress atmosphere at home. Do you feel that's a difficult thing to do, or are you glad that we have most of our home games to come?
Well, I'm very happy that we have the games at home. I think that there's something to be said for the siege mentality of a team going on the road, and the players playing against the fans, the ref, the opponent, everybody that you might get in that circumstance. But I think that for us as a team, our future lies in winning games at home. And for us, there's many, many games that are going to be huge nights at the Odyssey, a number of doubleheaders against extremely good teams, and, of course, the games leading up to Christmas. So I think that for us, we have to replicate the success at home that we've had on the road, and hope that instead of dropping a couple of those games in overtime and shootouts, we win those games. Because had we been able to pull a few of those off, we'd be in a much stronger position than we are now.
Mm-hmm. It's been quite an interesting first half of the season, not least in October with the trip to Germany, the Continental Cup. Coming on from that, you know, we're about six, eight weeks since that. What do you draw the main positives of that trip? Do you feel it benefited the team despite the outcome?
Well, I think it was an outstanding opportunity. I think it's something that last year's team worked extremely hard to earn, and for the players on this year's team to be able to reap that benefit. Hopefully, next year's team will have the same opportunity. Of course, when you leave the country for a different competition, it shifts your focus for that week to a new opportunity. And obviously, you're playing championship level hockey in September, which I think is a good experience for the guys to have. But of course, coming back to league action, it's a different animal. It's different style of play. And of course, we didn't win both of the games against Sheffield when we returned. But for us, I think it was overall a good experience. And hopefully, that night in Landshut, where we were so excited, so energetic, and played so with such passion, but we lacked discipline. Hopefully, that night is a lesson that we learned and something that we can use later on in the year, because last year it took for us to learn in that Challenge Cup final against Nottingham what it took to win a big game like that. And hopefully if the lesson against Landshut, something that we can pull out if we have those big nights down the road, and hopefully we'll have many of them where it's a championship level game, that we will be able to rise to the occasion and draw from that experience.
At that time, you know, we had an injury to Matheson or whatever. There's been a few unfortunate injuries this season, not least the current situation with Robbie Sandrock and Andrew Fournier. There's always an expectation, Doug, for injuries in this sport. But as a coach, do you tactically prepare for that, or do you just have to make do? Like, I assume players are being a role for an understudy if somebody like if Robbie Sandrock has to drop out.
Well, first and foremost, you know, last year we were able to account for that with an extra import from the beginning of the year. This year we're obviously carrying, at the minute, an extra import, which is something that allows us to weather that blow. But a lot of the things that are relevant are who the injuries happen to and when they happen. You know, any team in the league, if you take their best defenseman out of their lineup, they're going to be hurt. Any team in the league, if you take their best British player, you know, skater, like we lost the Peacock for the majority of last weekend, out of their lineup. And if you take the leading plus player and at the time the leading scorer on the team out of lineup, it's going to be tough. It's especially tough when all three is at the same time. And so for us, you can never predict that you're going to lose that level of player. But what we try to do, and we talked about it from day one this season, is that we have to have a mentality of, it doesn't matter who we're playing, what our lineup is, where we're playing, we're going to go out, we're going to execute our game plan to the best of our ability. And we try to play a system that can not make a lot of mistakes, not get concede too much through the neutral zone, that we possess the puck in the offensive zone. And by doing that, you rely on the fact that other people, through the structure of our system and through the structure of our team, are going to be able to have success and to be able to weather injuries. And so for us, that's something that we've tried to do. And of course, it's something that we need to continue to improve on if we're going to accomplish our goals, because we do have some serious injuries to extremely important players.
Mm. When looking at that injury situation, when we spoke in Coventry, you commented that you hoped that the NHL lockout would end quickly because of the quality of Matt Beleski on the ice. The longer the lockout continues and the shortage of personnel through injury, is there any temptation on you to maybe hop on that NHL bandwagon or look at basically bringing in a short-term replacement?
Well, there's definitely temptation. There's been temptation since September 15th. Two things are relevant. Number one, how many games are you winning? Where do you stand in the league? What are the things that you're trying to accomplish? And second of all, what are your finances? What are your budgets? And third, what is an acquisition like that do for your team in the locker room? You look around the league, each team has had varying success with their lockout players. And so just because you bring in a guy doesn't mean that it's a slam dunk that, he plays in the NHL, he must be a fantastic fit. So number one, looking at our team, we had two regulation losses until Saturday. Of course, we lost a few games on the road, but we were in a great position. We just dipped out of first place, but we have an opportunity to get ourselves back there by Monday. And so for us as a team, we're happy with how we've started. We're not thrilled. We're far from complacent, but we didn't think that there was a need to necessarily jump out and add another guy past Jeff Mason. Jeff Mason was the guy that we brought in to strengthen our team. The second part of that is your budget and your finances. You know, when we looked at the roster on September 15 when the lockout was starting, there wasn't a huge need to bring a guy in right away. Again, we were where we wanted to be, but more importantly, we didn't have a lot of home games between then and Christmas, which is obviously not changed. And when you don't have home games, it's hard to have the revenue increased by the fact that you're bringing an NHLer in that people want to see. If you have 15 home games and you have that cost certainty, you can pay for insurance, you can pay for the different things that go into bringing an NHL player into your lineup. And last but not least, how is it going to impact your team? And that's a real unknown. I'm confident in the fact that, we as an organization would do our due diligence and bring in the right kind of person, the right kind of player that would fit in. But I think I've been more tempted to try to strengthen our team in other ways than to try to bring somebody in who's going to do what Paul Bissonnette's doing in Cardiff, which is leaving on Sunday. Well, now all of a sudden Cardiff has 10 imports and a huge hole in their lineup, whereas if they brought in a player like Nottingham just did, where they bring in Kelsey Wilson, they've got him for the rest of the year. And so it does have various degrees of success and a lot of variables. But absolutely, I'm always tempted to try and improve the team. Sometimes the budget doesn't allow you to do it.
One of the great things about the game here, Doug, is that at times it can be unpredictable. This week alone, seen the Capitals beat Sheffield and Nottingham in their own barns, but lose to us at home. When you come away from the game, such as the loss in Fife, or the comeback loss a few weeks ago in Cardiff, the overtime loss, do you see those as unacceptable, or do you put them down as being just a bad day at the office?
I think both. I think the reality of the situation is we're a much better hockey team than Fife. Our record indicates it. But on that night, Fife played like it was Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. We did not play to the best of our ability. There's no hiding from that. And it is unacceptable to lose those games. But the truth is, there's a reason why people buy a ticket, is because it's not like going to the same movie all the time. There are days where Manchester United loses to Wigan or to Swansea or Man City gets upset. That's why people buy tickets for games. Mm-hmm. It's how you respond to that. And obviously the next day we were able to go out and to get the win in Edinburgh. But I think that the game that right now to date has been most frustrating for me was the night in Cardiff, because the game was in complete control. It's such a difficult building to win in. we were in an outstanding position to not only win the hockey game, but to win it in regulation, win it in a convincing fashion. And we let that game and that point slip away, and that was a three-point swing in the standings between us and Cardiff. Cardiff, had they, you know, had they lost that game in regulation, would have been 6 points back, and as a result, they were only three. And so that to me is the tough part of a game like that in Cardiff. But you know what? There's nothing we can do about it other than learn from it, because there are going to be a lot more shock results this year than there were in years past.
On a lighter note, I asked you after the game in Hull a few weeks ago about your trip to Japan with GB, and you described it as one of the best experiences in your hockey career. Can I ask how you and Tony work together on this as a team? Is it regular contact with regards to picking the team? Because obviously you've got more accessibility to the Elite League than maybe he has, and I know that Lee Jameson was picked, and a lot of people questioned that with regards to Ben Davies and Cardiff and whatever. Do you guys, are you in constant contact about where the team are sitting?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. We've probably talked three or four times just in the last couple of days, and we email at least two, three times a week. So Tony and I are in constant contact. We speak over the phone a number of times a week, especially, you know, daily, and sometimes two, three times a day, especially when we're starting to get to selection points and you're narrowing things down. I think that one of the things that when you're evaluating the players, what I do is I give Tony my assessment of each player, and we go through a grid of each player that we have on our radar, and I rank where I think that they are at the minute, and then he obviously applies my rankings and compares them with his own evaluations of players, mm-hmm. and of course he has the final say. I think that for us, and that changes. You know, Mark Garside is playing better and better every week. Currently, Craig Peacock, prior to the injury, same thing. And there's players who are playing poorly, less well than they were earlier in the season. So we try to put all those things into consideration, but it is definitely something that we spend a lot of time on. We take very, very seriously. And of course, the fact that, you know, I hadn't seen Lee Jameson play in a while, yeah. but he comes out, gets a goal and an assist and a very crucial win against Romania, and winds up being man of the match. So clearly Tony saw something there that was helpful to our team.
How important is there's the warm-up game being announced for at Ice Sheffield against an imports team. With your Belfast hat on, would you be pleased to send some of your imports to play in that game? Or like, how competitive would you want it to be, considering you'd have a foot in both camps?
Well, I don't think you're going to expect it to be an extremely physical encounter. I don't see that being the case, both from, you know, let's use Jeff Mason as an example. I don't see Jeff Mason being extremely physical in that game, but I think it's more for the structure, for the tempo, for us to get a chance to practice power play, penalty kill, reinforce systems off of face-offs, or different things like that. Obviously, I would expect Bounds to start instead of Murphy, because Murphy is most likely, looking at playing all three games in Latvia. And so you'd see that. But I think where it's most important and where it helps the most is for those special teams and for the situation for us as for the players to be able to practice some things, get some timings right, mm-hmm. and of course move that forward. But I wouldn't expect it to be overly physical, but I definitely think that in the same way that we scrimmage and practice in Belfast, it's for that the repetition and for the spacing and for the timings of things, and so that everyone's on the same page. And so I do think it's important. And with that in mind, it's a nice opportunity for some of our players in Belfast or Nottingham or whoever else it is to be able to get together and to know some of the people on other teams.
Finally, coming back to Belfast, we're entering into that busy Christmas period with, you know, Cardiff and Nottingham coming up, and they lead the way in that. And I guess the fans see this as an important time due to how thick and fast the games come. Do you hold a similar opinion? And how do you prepare the guys, given that they don't get much of a break?
Number one, I think we've changed the way that we view things a little bit different around the holiday period. we're only taking it one day at a time. We've talked a little bit about the importance of this stretch, but you know, over the course of the year, we break everything into segment, but we're only focused right now in Cardiff, and I think our scheduling is beneficial to do that. We have a day in between games that we can get together as a team, talk about Nottingham, prepare for Nottingham, and then move forward, obviously, to Hull the next day in the Challenge Cup, totally different competition, and then refocus towards Coventry, have a day off, and we play Sheffield, and we can focus each day or each time leading up to each game. I think that fans are probably right. This is a very important time for our team. I don't think going 4-0 wins the league. I don't think going 0-4 loses the league, but I think either one of those scenarios could really help or really hurt you. Something in the middle. It depends who it is and when it happens and all of that. But there's so much hockey to be played. And the one factor that people don't really talk about is you really have a chance to get back into it. The fact is we play Nottingham in a doubleheader at home in March. You've got opportunities with doubleheaders down the stretch and playing more games against the top teams that even if you fall behind or you wind up ahead, you know, there's an opportunity to claw your way back into it. And now all of a sudden with the upsets that are coming from the other conference, you know, Edinburgh, nobody talks about the fact that they beat Cardiff as well at home. Mm-hmm. And so those results are going to have an impact just as much because in years past you couldn't really rely on that. Well, now you might be able to get a couple of those results that will have an impact on the standings. And in addition to that, you have more opportunities. So I think you and I discussed it months ago. I think to win the Elite League this year is going to be a heck of an accomplishment. Let's just hope that we do it.
Fantastic, Surya. I met as always, it's been good chatting to you. I wish you well for the Christmas period.
Thanks very much. Likewise, have a Merry Christmas.
And thanks again to Doug. Always a great interview. So let's look ahead to this weekend. Three games in 4 days, starting with Friday night, a game at home against the Cardiff Devils. Of course, the game against the Cardiff Devils that we last had, we mentioned in the interview with Doug there, which was the comeback game where we had the game in control only for the Devils to win in overtime. With our missing players in defence and attack, with Sandrock and Fournier missing and maybe Peacock still missing, it's going to be an interesting game. It also just depends on which Phil O'Sair turns up. He's been a bit hot and cold over the season so far. The game will of course be on GiantsLive.tv and it's 7:30 on Friday night. They're missing Devin Dimity, I also mentioned that earlier on. And Barry McKenzie, former Belfast Giants, has now gone to the Manchester Phoenix, just down the road from where I am here, with Mark Richardson basically taking his place. There's talk that the money had to be relocated, so I guess that's just what happens. It's unfortunate for McKenzie, who'd done so well at the Caps last season and also done so well early in this season with the Devils. But Cardiff come to Belfast on Friday night and it's sure to be a cracking game. Giants have Saturday night off and then they travel to the NIC where they take on the Nottingham Panthers, who will be stinging from that loss against the Edinburgh Capitals during the week. They also have brought in Kelsey Wilson, left winger, who's in to bolster their scoring. They've lost Anthony Stewart, who's now gone back to the States. I believe his visa's now ended. It's happening across the place. You heard of Paul Bissonnette at who will be playing his last game for the Cardiff Devils against us on Friday. He will be heading back on Sunday. It's happening across the league. A lot of the NHLers are now. Tom Sestito has left Sheffield. I'm quite wondering about how Matt Beletsky and Drew Miller up in Brayhead, how their system works. But as the lockout continues, will they be able to bring these players back and whatnot? But anyway, Nottingham Panthers will be a tough game, considering that we have a game in hand on them, and I guess this will go a long way to deciding which way the direction of the Elite League goes this season. And then the night after, on Monday night, the Hull Stingrays in the quarterfinal of the Challenge Cup. I did say the last time we played, I thought that was our last trip to the Moose Versus Hull Arena. Of course, the hockey gods decided, no, we are going back there for a game in the quarterfinal of the Challenge Cup, and it's always a tough game there. It was a grimy game the last time we were there. It was a tough, dirty win, and no doubt that the hosting race fighting for this Challenge Cup will put in exactly the same fight again. And you'll be able to watch that on the whole webcast, which I believe was very good and is good quality, especially with coming from the guy who's doing the video camera up wearing high-vis jacket and a harness and a hard hat, just in case he gets hit by the puck on a stanchion just to the left of the way block. Quite a funny sight. But yes, you can get that whole webcast if you go to the whole website, the whole Stingrays website, on Monday night. What else? Any more news? Oh, yes. The 12th of February 2013 is definitely a date you need to put on your diary, because that will be the date of Graham Walton's testimonial. Graham Walton has been a superb servant to the Belfast Giants. It's his 10th season. He's one of the first, I think he's the first Northern Irish player to play for Team GB. He's the all-time top game player, and the most games played for the Belfast Giants. And his testimonial will be on the 12th of February, which I believe is a Tuesday or Wednesday night in early next year. I'm really looking forward to it. I've decided to come over for it myself, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what team it'll be. The Belfast Giants against the Graham Walton All-Stars, so it'll be really interesting to see what players will be coming back and who'll be playing on that Graham Walton All-Star team. The tickets are now available. If you go to belfastgiants.com and follow the link, you can pick up tickets to that. Other than that, maybe another link to TCW, the Cats Whiskers TV for this week. Really worth a watch. Those guys do a great job. The Phoenix podcast, another good job. And various blogs, The Angry Budgie, Banners on the Wall. I'm going to be missing loads here, but it's really worth supporting these blogs and these podcasts and the Cats Whiskers TV, the likes, because it's all done by fans. They're all done for the love of the game, and really worth your support. As we thank you for your support here on The View from the Bridge. I'll remind you, Cardiff, if you can't make it to the game, giantslive.tv. The Nottingham away game, if you go to @NPHockeyLive, those guys do a live Twitter feed. It's always really informative, quite balanced, and really worth tuning into. And then the Hull webcast, if you go to the Hull Stingrays website, you'll get a link there. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Twitter @AVFTB, and there is no truth in the rumor that David Clark is going to cover Believe by Cher. No, he's not covering Believe by Cher. Is that right, David? Okay, thank you. And you can go to our website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. And just before we go, it's worth pointing out that the fantastic vocal stylings of David Clark has been part of the Nottingham Panthers charity Christmas song, where they covered I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day with Phil Rostance and the Marshall Band. Check out the panthers.co.uk for the link to the YouTube video, where you'll see David Clark singing the band, and along with his teammates, who look very enthusiastic about it. It's all for the Nottingham Breast Cancer Campaign. It's well worth watching and maybe donating. You can simply text NUHC16 followed by your donation to 70070 to support what is a fantastic campaign. Well done to the Nottingham Panthers for doing it. We do have a bit of a laugh about it, but it's a very worthwhile cause. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.